everyone. Good morning. Happy. What is it today? Thursday. It's Pi Day, guys. It's March 14th in a math teacher's world. It's Pi Day. Welcome to Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. My name's Ray Hewer, and we have an incredible educator that we'll be talking to today. So you want to fill up your coffee or get your water. Maybe you're in a smoothie phase like me. We'll be right back. Good morning. We are here for our Teach Better Today morning show, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. Christopher is here with us. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well and staying north of neutral, as they say in applied positive psychology.
I love that. North of neutral. I'm going to use that. That's killer. What if you're south of usual? Does that mean if you're south of neutral, then you're not doing so well?
So what you need to do is you need to look at your set point and reestablish your set point so that you can be in a better spot for that moment.
Friends, you already know this is going to be a great podcast episode if that's how we begin. Christopher, I really, really appreciate you being here bright and early to have this conversation. Do you mind sharing a little bit about who you are, what you do in education, all that good stuff?
So I'm a superintendent of schools in the South New Jersey area. I have a special services school district, and I also have an Institute of Technology with a post-secondary division. So it keeps me very, let's put it this way. We have so many great ways that our kids are able to be serviced, whether the students with exceptionalities or the highest of high-tech pre-engineering, and we never have a boring hour or day, that's for sure.
I love that. I can only imagine that your day is different every single day, right? Yeah. Every time you walk in your office, you're like, all right, what's happening for the day and what challenges do I have before me? Which is both a positive and probably a little bit of an upward hike, but I'm sure it's still very beneficial.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. It's on how you prepare for your day and how you look at not only your day, but what the next couple of months look like, what's the next year, two, three. So I see myself as an educational futurist, an individual who certainly is an innovator from that vantage point, but also somebody who is also inspirational and, certainly focused. We've gone through a lot. Superintendents have gone through a lot over the last couple of years. And so that's really something that really, we learn how to address the future that does not yet exist.
Such a powerful reminder about the different roles we have in education and the type of foresight that it takes to be doing these very, very challenging roles. Christopher, tell us a little bit about what led you to this job, right? No person wakes up in their college days and says, okay, I'm going to walk out of college and I'm going to get a superintendent job, right? This is something that you probably prepared for many years, had a number of different experiences, and then respectfully still decided to take the plunge, even though it's one of the most challenging jobs in education and one of the most common jobs that we do not talk about. So please, let's dive into how you made your way through that journey and then obviously ended up in a role right now that you get to impact students on a daily basis in your community.
Well, Ray, thank you very, very much for that. I think one of the things that I did, I had an opportunity to live in Italy for 7 years. And part of that was to have a snapshot on looking at the world and the worldview, global view on education. And having that, when I came back stateside, I was looking at how is it that I could leverage my abilities in the classroom. And then ultimately, once I got the feel for it, I realized I had a knack for the administrative side. And then, I had an opportunity to go to Lehigh University and had the formal training from there. And then ultimately going on for my doctorate. And in that process, I worked through various levels of, be it from a teacher, various administrative levels. And so what that did was those were all stepping stones and provide you with various experiences that you could build upon. So it was, I was not unfamiliar with that ultimate seat. Having been an administrator, one of the things, one of my mentors once said, you know, being number two, the scenery never changes. And so I think part of that is I wanted to be able to be in a position to make a difference in students' lives, to be able to create that future that does not yet exist, to bring others along, and to be able to flourish in that particular environment, and to take pride and ownership in the strength of working together. And that's really what I, so, you know, they refer to the Pope as the Pontifex Maximus, otherwise known as the Great Bridge Builder. So that's how I kind of see myself, as a bridge builder with staff, students, and the communities at large.
Wow. So many questions in my mind of things that I am eager to dive into during this podcast episode, because your connection to the why of how you got to this role and why you serve in this very difficult role every single day is something I know a lot of educators are going to be eager to learn more about. I have to know, though, as an Italy girl myself, love the, I will live there someday. That is the dream. Been there a few times. Tell us a little bit about where you lived. What brought you there?
So I was studying, and part of that was I'm also Italian on my mother's side. So my relatives lived in Rome, Milan, and also in the south, Caserta area, which is where my Italian family also was found. So for me, it was I'm the oldest of five, coming from a divorced family. And so this was also part of the family looking out and saying, you know, Chris, this would be a good idea. As well as an opportunity for me for studies. I mean, initially I was looking at the ministry as a focus. But you know, as a young person, I looked and you know said, you know, I also had the opportunity. I was a great baseball player, so the Reds were interested in me at the time. But I had this opportunity to go abroad, and I'm happy I did. It's changed my world for sure.
So powerful to be able to travel, whether it be for an extended period of time like you, or to be able to just take little trips with the family or for business and be able to see the world. It really opens your eyes up to so many more things when we're able to step out of our bubble. And for educators listening, that could be a trip down the street to a different community. That could be, you know, crossing state lines or country borders. There's so many different ways to be able to widen our perspectives. One of the things, Christopher, I love that you've been able to highlight so far is two very difficult decisions I know many educators in multiple phases of their life choose to take. One is to step outside of their bubble, right? To go see what other communities look like. And the other is to explore applying and maybe even being awarded new positions in the field. It's very scary for many of us to think about that process, but it's very prevalent right now as March is underway for different educators to be looking at what next year's role or what maybe 5 years down the line, where they might want to go next, and not choosing to be stagnant in their current role, unless that makes them happy. Will you tell us a little bit about those challenges that maybe came up in deciding to move to the next role in your journey?
Sure. So I'm a firm believer of being a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. Having also a background in applied positive psychology, we only at best utilize 10% of our brain. And so part of this is I'm going through my life looking at going through various iterations of who I want to be by virtue of the problems that I encounter, the opportunity, the challenges, and as a result of embracing those. So for example, for the past 7 years, we have embraced, not run away from, but embraced the whole idea of integrating virtual reality, extended reality into our programs. Not running away, but embracing. We had all of our staff trained on AI tools, and they're now integrating those. So I look at this, so I take the whole viewpoint, and I share this with my staff, that we need to be lifelong learners. And, you know, with information doubling, you know, it used to be 10 years, then 7, you know, now you're looking, you know, at less than, you know, a year and a half. And so, you know, the discrete information that we learn is going to be old news. And so it's a matter of how you build and create those new neurons, if you will. And it's a scientific fact that the more that you are engaged and the more you are in a center of growth and curiosity, you know, the more blood flow that comes to the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And as a result of that, you are in your maximum way of having all neurons firing. So you're able to do some of your best work when that happens. So that's really what I like to do in terms of inspiring others to be in that particular camp or field. So that they're in a growth mindset, that they're able to be risk takers, and that they're not afraid to do that. And I start every school year off with an empty chair next to the podium and basically say, you know, this is the student where we need to serve. It's not about you. It's not about everybody else. It's about the student. And how is it that we need to bring our A game each and every day to that particular student? And by the way, I'll say to them as well, you know, many times you hear about we need to be thinking inside the box. I'm telling you right now, I don't want you to think inside the box. Matter of fact, I don't want you to think outside of the box. I want you to go where there is no box and create new pathways. And so that's my philosophy. And, you know, I try to do everything possible to live by that.
Mm, so many powerful mic drop moments, quotable moments so far in this conversation. We're going to transition here in just a moment to our team talk section and get into what is on your mind and what you really find to be beneficial for educators to hear. Before we do that, though, I always love to ask this question. I don't get to enough or I forget. Tell us a little bit about how you got connected to the Teach Better team. Was this a simple stumble upon something? Did a colleague introduce you to this network? What brought you to getting connected here?
I would say you and your team are very persistent. I get emails all the time.
Oh no!
It have been and basically I try to look through those and say, you know, I like this idea, and I like what you're doing. I think, you know, what you're doing for the profession, to raise the profession, I think is very, very important. And then I thought, you know, in looking at some of the shows, you know, I think a superintendent's perspective, and especially one where I am, and I do a lot of writing and presenting, and part of that is trying to bring others into the new reality of disruption in education. And, you know, we are in the fourth industrial revolution. And at the same time, we're also looking at second order change. Second order change, much like we had the one-to-one laptops, much like you're going to have AI right now, it is permanently going to change how education, if not the world, works. And all of us who've dived into that for a little bit already know the power behind some of those tools, and just it makes us better and sharper, and you get a better product as a result of that.
So good. I don't know if that was actually a positive pitch for our email list, but I'm so sorry, Christopher, that I've been emailing you so much. Thrilled that you got on the list somehow. If anybody here wants to join the Teach Better Teen email list, you can just head over to our homepage over at teachbetter.com and you can join that. There's a little face of Chad Ostrowski and your little button you can click to join, but you might want to reach out to Christopher first and see if it's just an annoyance, because I don't know, it sounds like I'm in your inbox a little too much.
Well, I first of all, I appreciate that. I appreciate the themes. I think they're very, very relevant to today and to the field. And so, you know, that period of time on those various topics, I think are a great way to spin off and to do more research and to, you know, follow. So what you're doing, I commend you for it.
So good. For everyone, stick with us. We are getting into more of this conversation, and we'll be right back. Tuning in to Teach Better Today morning show. As we kind of wrap up our conversation here, I really want to challenge Christopher, if you don't mind, for you to share a piece of advice, a challenge, something on your mind that you feel like would really benefit educators to hear right now. We know that this is a very challenging time for everyone in education to be able to really persevere through challenging times and turn out on the other side stronger for it as learners. And we can constantly choose to learn from those around us. So tell us a little bit, is there anything that you've said frequently that you feel like might be helpful for our community here as we continue through the month of March?
Absolutely. I know it's March Madness from that vantage point, from not only basketball, but also from a weather perspective. But it also talks about us and as human beings, and to realize that despite all of the technology, it's all about the humanity and humanism in what it is that we do. And as part of that, we need to take care of ourselves on one hand. On the other hand, we need to adapt to a growth mindset. As a result of that, by having a growth mindset, you're then able to position yourself to look at obstacles. And I like Ryan Holiday. I love the book, The Obstacle is the Way. To look at obstacles as actually the pathway, toward which you then come to a solution, and not to run away from those obstacles and or challenges, but to actually run toward them. And by running toward them, you're able to learn more about yourself. And you're able to learn, more about what it is that you can do rather than what you can't do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't necessarily run toward those things, you will never know the capacity that you have to develop other skill sets, and then ultimately to be able to share those and touch other lives as a result of that. And I think for me, I started a Hall of Fame for Lifetime Achievement when I was a high school principal. And one of the things, I'll never forget the one individual that we inducted into the Hall of Fame. One of his points was, actually he made four, but real quickly. One is, he said, be an interesting person, because the more interesting that you are, the more influence you have and the greater your circle becomes. He said, second thing, just remember, even as a teacher, wherever you are where you are because someone gave you an opportunity, took an interest in you, and you were given a break. And so make sure that you bring somebody along with you. Third thing is that we learn more from our mistakes than we do by our successes. And then last but not least, that we need to continue to persevere no matter what, because at one point, perseverance and luck intersect, and you're at the right place at the right time, because you were persevering. And I think that for me, I lived by that. And that was a number of years ago. And I think about it as if it were yesterday in terms of the message. And I think that's the kind of message that I'd like to give teachers, to continue to persevere. And there will be obstacles, but those obstacles will be the way. And I also like atomic habits, the whole idea of changing that 1%. A day, and targeting on those particular pieces. And the other, and if people don't know about it, and I use this in a retreat during the summer with my administrators, the book by David Epstein, Range, the whole idea of why generalists triumph in a specialized world. And I think there's no better than to look at teachers and how adaptable that they are you know, just the AI piece, you know, and they know this is what we need to do. Our students need it. They learn it. But I mean, in the corporate world, people are specialized in all these particular areas, but teachers as generalists, they have that knowledge of all of those particular areas. And so organizations can be, have the ability then to shift very, very quickly when you have these types of individuals. So my, my advice is to continue to allow everyone to be risk takers, to grow, to be better iterations of themselves tomorrow than they are today.
Christopher, this was an outstanding conversation. I truly have a ton more questions for you and hope that our community chooses to reach out to you to add you not only to their professional learning network, but also choose to learn from you because you absolutely have a lot of insight and experience to share and we have so much more good work to do. Do you mind sharing your contact information so our community here can follow you on social media or connect with you in some way?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at DRC Nagy. I'm on LinkedIn and my email dr.chris.nagy, N-A-G-Y, @gmail.com.
Wonderful. If any of you here are trying to connect with Chris and are struggling, please just feel free to reach out to me. I will send you a direct link to connect with him and the incredible work that he's doing over in New Jersey. Christopher, thank you so much for joining the conversation this morning. I very, very much appreciate it.
Ray, thank you very much. You made my morning, my day, and stay north of neutral.
So good. North of neutral. Have a good day, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.